You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. Outdoor Edge introduces the all-new Razor Guide Pack. Coming in at 12 ounces and in a premium wax canvas roll pack for compact storage and travel, the Razor Guide Pack is 7 blades in total, including a 5-inch replaceable blade folding knife, a 3-inch replaceable blade caping knife, and the flip and zip saw for wood or bone. Whether you're hunting the back 40 or chasing game deep in the backcountry, the Razor Guide Pack has it all. For more information, visit OutdoorEdge.com.
All right, guys, welcome to today's show, and I am super pumped about this show. This is a little bit different from the normal Western Rookie content, but I can't run a podcast, no matter what it's about, without talking and sharing about one of my favorite weeks of the year, and that is Wisconsin's gun deer season. So I go up to Wisconsin, to the place that I was born and raised, to a property that my family's been hunting for probably close to 40 years. I've been hunting it, let's see, I started hunting 22 years ago now. That's crazy. And I've been out in the woods, like sitting with my uncle, with my dad, with my cousins, people that could legally hunt before I could even carry a gun. And so this is something that I've been doing basically all my life. And I plan to carry on that tradition, pass it on to my wife, to my kids, to future generations. And as you're going to hear, I'm taking my nephew out. Hopefully we can get him his first deer, and hopefully it's a nice buck. So lots to come. Like I said, I look forward to this all year long, and the fact that it is now the night before season, I don't know why. It just kind of blows me away. I can't believe we're actually here. So I'm super pumped. Hopefully you guys are. Hopefully you guys have either kicked off your seasons or are about to this week. But I'm pumped. We're going to sit down. Me and my wife are going to sit down and talk, because most of my family comes into town, but for some reason, everybody bounced out of here, probably because they need sleep for the next 9 days. So I didn't get to do like a full family roundtable discussion of what we're expecting. But my wife, Samantha, is going to sit down with me, and we're just going to chat all about what's to come, what to expect over the next 9 days, what my goals are, and just kind of chat. It's going to be a fun one, though. So let's jump into this episode right now.
You're listening to The Western Rookie, a hunting podcast full of tips, tricks, and strategies from seasoned Western hunters. There are plenty of opportunities out there. We just need to learn how to take on the challenges.
Hunting is completely different up there.
That part is 26 big game animals.
You can fool their eyes, but you can't fool their nose.
300 yards back to the road turned into 3 miles back the other way.
It's always cool seeing new hunters go and harvest an animal.
I don't know what to expect.
If there's anybody I want in the woods with me, it'll be you.
All right, guys. Welcome to today's show. And joining me on the show today, it is my wife, Samantha.
Hello, hello.
Thanks for being on, babe.
You're welcome.
So the plan was to do like a big night before opener, like Deer Season Eve podcast. Yep. We've got family over here from all over. My brother's getting in at like 4:30 a.m. And then we're heading to the woods at like 5:45. And then, you know, my mom, Kevin.
Yeah, cousins, aunt, uncle.
Everybody's here ready to roll.
And then
they all went home to go to bed, which, I mean, I get it. It's almost 10. And we've got to be up early.
Yeah.
And we're about to kick off 9 days of
straight hunting.
Not a ton of sleep. A lot of early mornings. So, yeah. It makes sense. But
so, I offered to sit with him and do a little recording.
Yeah, and then when you saw, you were looking at trail camera pictures with my mom earlier.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're like,
why don't
you just shoot a small buck and then I'll come out and shoot that one? And I'm like, really? You think that's just...
I mean, we can get into this later, but her blind is pretty bougie. She, like, straight up cooks
She's
in her blind.
She's making spaghetti tomorrow
and
for
like
lunch.
Breakfast tacos and sausage or something. I want to be in that blind.
I mean, it does sound good. Like, sitting out there, if I had biscuits and gravy
oh my gosh, that sounds
in
so
the
good.
Woods in the morning, that would be amazing.
I did ask her. I'm like, I'm really curious. Does that, have you seen, does that affect the deer? And she's like, nope. Like, no. Her biggest buck that she shot ever, right, was last year. And she was making tacos. Like, right after she's making tacos, she's like, oh, there he is.
People act like things affect deer way more than they do.
Yeah, I think it's mental, right?
Well, there's a big push from people, and I get it. Like, there's guys who go by the book, like, they wash all their clothes separately, they do all of this, and a lot of them are really serious and are really good hunters, and they're shooting monsters every year.
And, I mean, if you do that year after year and you're getting big deer, then why change what you're doing?
Yeah. But, like, hunting a small 40-acre chunk where most of us don't even live, so it's not like we can do any type of management.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not leaving trail cameras up here year-round. We also have a bunch of other people that hunt it for archery season.
Yeah.
And so, at the end of the day, Wisconsin rifle season, you don't need to do anything. You could be sitting underneath a neon sign that says, deer, run away, we will shoot you, and you will still shoot deer.
Oh, yeah.
Because, well, one, deer can't read. And two, like, there's so much chaos in the woods, the deer are just, like, running. I mean, they're just moving a ton.
Yeah.
All the time.
I'm excited to hear how it goes tomorrow.
It should be good. Yeah. Yeah, I'm hopeful. The guy whose property we hunt on, he said he's seen more deer in the valley than he's ever seen.
Nice. That's
he's awesome. Like, they're everywhere. But there is a lot of corn up, which kind of makes me worried. And I'm really torn. I've got basically three spots I could sit in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them could be good. I have a hard time making that choice.
Of where?
Of where to go. Especially if it's not like my number one choice. Because I always have like my number one. This is where I want to be. And if that's taken or if it's a little too close to somebody else, then I start going, okay, what about this one or this one or this one?
Yeah.
And anytime I choose one out of three, I'm always thinking that there's a monster buck walking through the other two choices.
I always hate when Dan's not confident, because when he's like, oh yeah, I'm getting a deer tomorrow, I'm like, wait, what? And then he comes home with a deer or an elk. And when he's not confident, I'm like, all right, what's up? Are you okay?
No, it's not. It's not that I'm not confident. I think I'll have an opportunity to shoot 20 different deer tomorrow.
Yeah.
I never go into rifle season super confident about a big buck.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, it's chaos out there.
Mm-hmm.
Anything could happen. You could go the entire season without seeing anything bigger than a fork, or you could have a dozen monsters walk in front of you opening weekend. Like,
I'm too much like type A. I need to know.
No, I like the, honestly, I thought about bringing cellular trail cameras up here
and totally putting them out. Why don't you?
Part of me really likes
the unknown of
the
it.
The unknown here in Wisconsin at the hunting property, because it's like, no matter what you do throughout the year, there will be deer in the woods. And I like the excitement of, like, anything could show up at any second.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I've had it where all morning long, it's just been slow. And I've had those days. I've gone a couple days out here without even seeing a deer, mm-hmm. which is very rare. But at any second, you could just barely turn and there's a deer standing there. And especially now.
That's what happened last year, right? You said with Aiden?
Oh, yeah. Multiple times.
You're just sitting there and then
there was probably six encounters like that morning.
Yeah.
Where you're sitting there and it's just like, you start to wonder, oh, is there going to be a deer that comes through today or this morning or mm-hmm. whatever? And then all of a sudden, they're in your face.
Bam.
Like right on top of you. And that's what happened. I turned to talk to Aiden last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just going to slowly turn and mention something to him. And as soon as I did, there's a deer 15 to 20 yards behind him. I mean, like, in plain sight of both of us, directly past him from where I was. And I just go, Aiden, do not move. There is a big buck right there.
Yeah.
And he, like, his eyes just get huge. And he's, like, frozen, staring straight forward.
This is Dan's nephew. He's like, what?
Yeah.
15 maybe?
Yeah, so he's going to be hunting. He's getting a license this year, and he'll be coming out. I think he gets in from New York tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Nice. Dan was getting ready for tomorrow morning, who was setting all his stuff out, and Canyon, our son, he was like, Dad, what are you doing? And Dan's like, oh, I'm going hunting in the morning. And Canyon's like, without me?
Yeah.
It was the cutest thing. Concerned. But have you recapped your little Missouri hunt with him?
No, not really. Haven't done much with him.
I mean, there's not much to talk about, but do you want to?
Yeah, because there's not much to talk about, I feel like it'd be fun to have him on the podcast and talk about it. I don't know how much he actually would. But basically, we did 5 sits. We saw one deer for a grand total of 3 seconds.
Yeah.
He didn't even see it. I saw it, but he didn't. Had coyotes howling midday all day long, morning and night, one day. And driving through the field, I looked over to my left, and there's a coyote just standing there. And I was like, something's off. Like, my eyes are playing tricks on me. 70 yards off the driver's side of the vehicle. I park. I turn to my son, and I said, Canyon, there's a coyote out there. I'm going to shoot it. And he goes, where? And he's, like, looking around, and he sees it. And I get out of the out of the driver's side, go to the rear driver's side door, get the AR out, load it, walk to the back of the truck, lean on the tailgate, and shoot this thing at 70 yards. And it never ran, never acted like it was scared.
Didn't even care.
Nothing. Get over there, and it was chewing on a cow bone. And then we walked over, and we found it laying there. And Canyon was super pumped. He was asking about taking it home, but it had mange. And I was like, no, that'll make Scout really sick.
Yeah, no thanks.
So, anyways, that was basically the full extent of the hunt. And then, of course, now that we're not there, and we could be there hunting still,
Dan's
I'm getting
phone
daytime
is blowing
deer
up.
Pictures all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of driving me crazy.
All you have to do is just, like, roll your eyes.
Yeah. But, I mean, I could always take him out here with me.
Yeah. It's a little too cold here. I mean, this was his first year sitting, and I don't think he has the full attention span yet.
No,
he's
definitely
still
not.
Learning. So he was on his iPad a little bit playing and fully distracted when they were hunting. But so being in the woods out here, I think would be too much for him.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing is we're close enough. We're a couple miles from my mom's house. And so if we get one, like, you can always come over, or if I come back and get the four-wheeler, like, he can come back out with me. He can go out and see the deer. He can help load it.
Well, maybe if you get one and then you sit with Aiden on Sunday, maybe Monday, Tuesday, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the possibility of going down to Buffalo County during the week this week.
That's true.
But my number one priority is getting my nephew his first deer. And so I'll try to get him one.
Because how many deer? You just have the 2 archery this year plus your elk?
I've got 2 archery deer plus whatever elk meat I get.
So our freezer is more than full. We're like on a second freezer now.
No, but if you think about how much meat we actually consume each year,
no,
we could
true.
Probably handle 5 deer and the elk meat. Like,
freezer-wise, we need another freezer.
Oh, we definitely need another freezer. But we'll eat 5 deer's worth of meat throughout the year.
Speaking of, Dan's mom and stepdad always get their deer processed every year, and they do different things. So our favorite is the venison bacon out here in Wisconsin. Have we seen it anywhere else?
I actually just saw a video of people doing it. I don't know, probably 3 or 4 days ago. They were doing like the brown sugar. They were doing maple. They were all kinds of stuff.
They always get it processed in different ways. And Dan and I just do like back straps, roast, and ground. Whenever we did it ourselves, we did like sausage a couple times or whatever.
Yeah, brats.
Yeah, different things. But his stepdad yesterday had us try, it was like venison bologna almost. And it was so good.
It really was.
I told Dan, I'm like, you get one this year and we're just going to be like, hey, do the back straps and give me all like bacon.
Well, I want like a bunch of beef sticks or like venison sticks, jerky, summer sausage,
like all the extra stuff. Cause I feel like we have a bunch of ground meat and, you know, as many things that we can use the meat for, the better.
Yeah.
Other than just ground or steak or roast.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll probably do that here.
Yeah.
You know, with whatever deer I get here.
Because
we'll drop it off, and I might honestly just shoot a doe tomorrow if one comes through.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need one, but I've got 3 doe tags and a buck tag. So
why do you have three out here?
Yeah, they just come with.
That's crazy.
They come with a tag.
I thought it was just like one in one.
Nope. So I've got three doe tags and a buck tag, and honestly, I could just shoot something tomorrow.
Yeah.
Drop it off, have it processed, get it like all the good stuff, right? The stuff that we normally don't get.
Yeah.
And go from there. But also, I feel like with the type of food that we eat, you know, we normally don't do a lot of crazy stuff. Mm-mm, like, I mean, true. Roast can be used for everything.
We eat pretty much the same thing all the time. It's just easy. One, in a sense, it's healthy.
Like meal planning.
Yeah, meal planning wise. We eat like the same breakfast, same lunch, same dinner, same snacks. Because in the RV, we don't have a ton of space, so we can't buy a lot. But yeah, just like planning wise, it's easy to eat the same thing. And so it would kind of keep us on track, I guess.
All right, guys. Unfortunately, seasons are starting to come to an end all across the country. And a lot of people start to lose hope at this point in the year. But here's a couple tips and tricks that just may help you find success in the late season. Number one, watch the weather. If you have a good snowfall out there, you need to be out there glassing or walking the woods, looking for fresh tracks of the big bull or the buck that you've been after all season long. Get up on a glassing hill and scan the opposing ridge lines with the spotting scope. Figure out where the animals are moving. There's no better way to know animal behavior than going and finding fresh tracks the day after a snow. Also, don't be scared to get aggressive in the late season. At this point in the year, if you blow an area out, you've got 9 months before you'll be back in there. So push the limits just a little bit more. Step outside your comfort zone. If you're looking for those extra tools to help you find success in the late season, check out what's new from Vortex at vortexoptics.com. And head to your favorite Vortex dealer to make sure you're ready for everything fall can throw at you.
You know what I really want, though? What? Some shredded venison quesadillas.
Oh, my gosh. We haven't done that in a
while.
Oh,
that sounds
so
good.
So years ago,
right
this was
I'm hungry.
When we first
I haven't
got...
even eaten dinner. It's 10.
We can
I haven't
eat
eaten
after
anything.
This. this was probably right when we got married. Dan... Whenever he was bringing all this meat home, I would find ways to cook it and look up different recipes. And we loved like roast beef. I'd always make roast, potatoes, carrots. And I was like, well, it's the same thing as like a venison roast. Like might as well just, you know, try to cook it the same way. So I do a packet of brown gravy, packet of onion soup mix, some water in there and crock pot it all day to where it just shreds. Well, Dan had this wild idea one day. Let's make it into a quesadilla, and it was so good. And then
we did like shredded venison, beans, corn cheese.
Yeah. Top it with sour cream and salsa if you like it, and it was amazing. So we'll do that and make a big pot of it.
And you can do like breakfast venison quesadillas out of it.
Or
you
breakfast
can do
tacos.
Breakfast tacos. Oh
flour,
my
tortilla,
gosh.
Tortilla cheese. You're getting hungry.
There's something about a tortilla meat and cheese. Like any combination with that. Yeah. And it's good. You could do enchilada. You can do taco.
Maybe
you can
if your
do burrito,
mom has a roast.
You can do quesadilla.
I'll throw one in tomorrow and
oh, that sounds
have
so
it ready
good
for the night. That does sound good.
She'll probably be making that in the morning for breakfast.
She
in
did.
Her blind.
So tomorrow she has her food prepped already. I forget what she's doing in the morning. Oh, I mentioned it. But for lunch, she's making spaghetti.
Yep.
Yeah, she's got her noodles, her meat, and a little sauce packet for her blind. It's so funny.
It's always fun. Like, the tradition of whitetail season here in Wisconsin is like nothing I've ever seen anywhere, period. Like out in Colorado, going out for second rifle, it's
like
a lot of fun. You see a lot of people. But here, I mean, even in Missouri, we were driving through the other day and I pointed out to you the fact that like you look out and it's opening weekend
no
and
you
orange. Don't see any orange out there.
Mm-mm.
Here, you can't drive past a field, a chunk
without
of woods, a cornfield,
yeah.
anything. Without seeing
a car parked on the side.
Everywhere.
Yeah. You're like, oh, they're in the deer stand. They're in the deer
yeah.
stand.
Yeah. Honestly, if I flew a drone up from right here, we could probably pick out 100 hunters.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Just from here.
And it's crazy to think that there's enough deer to, I mean, in a sense, you know.
There's millions of deer and not even a million hunters.
But
so
like big ones.
Yeah. Well, big ones. There's definitely not enough big ones for everybody. I'll tell you that right now.
My you can probably tell I'm not a big hunter, but a lot of people on social media are like, why don't you go hunting with him? Like, go out with him. And here's the deal. I think I would. And I did when we were married, before we had kids, like I would go out a couple times, sit with you. It was always Dan's passion. And I never wanted to, one, like get in the way of that, because as a guy, and I feel like the head of a household and husband, like him getting out to go do his passion, like, is that refreshing time that he needs, and to just like recoup and kind of have your space. And so I never wanted to like encroach upon that, but I did like going out and sitting with you, cause it was like me getting into your world, you know, yeah. And experiencing that. But now with kids, and even especially out here, every one of his family member hunts, like someone has to watch the kids. So it's me.
But also, I just don't think deer hunting is for you. Not the way that I do it.
Yeah.
Like sitting in a tree stand, sitting in a blind, sitting on a bucket in the woods all day long.
Yeah.
Like you are just a go, go, go type of person.
It's hard to sit still.
And so like if we were doing a deer drive, mm-hmm. or if we were doing spot and stalk, yeah. like out in the plains.
Shed hunting.
Active is what you need.
I did like my doe hunt in Missouri though. But I think... I went out in the morning, nothing. And I went out in the evening.
Even that.
I went out in the evening and got something. So it was only one day of hunting. So I was like, all right, sweet. One day, I'm good. Got my dough.
Yeah, but you already started second guessing what you were doing out there.
Oh, yeah.
Like 40 minutes into opening morning.
No, it wasn't.
You turned. Yes, it 100% was. You turned and you looked at me. And I remember. I can picture your face saying this. You turned and looked at me and you said, this is what you do all day long. And I go, yep, basically all fall, any day that I can.
I was like, do you know what I could do during this time?
That was your follow-up. Do you have any idea how much I could get done in the amount of time you sit here?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. And I don't care.
I don't know if that's like...
You could have a million things on a checklist for me, and I don't think about a single one of them sitting out in the woods.
Maybe that's... I don't know if that's the... homemaker in me. Like I could food prep, I could clean my house, I could do a DIY project.
No, you have no idea.
I could work.
You have no idea what idling is or being in neutral is. You're in like sixth gear pegged
all the time.
Yeah. So yeah, I just feel like there's probably other types of hunts, like pheasant hunting. I feel like you'd really enjoy pheasant
hunting. I did like
rabbit
when we went rabbit hunting because we're
active.
Moving. Yeah, for sure. But then again, I do like, you know, getting the deer in a sense, as a reward for your hunting. But I need to know, if I'm going to spend 4 days out there, I need to know at the end of those 4 days, there's going to be a deer.
You don't.
And that's the thing that I know. And that's the thing that's hard for me. And so I just kind of chop it as like, chop it up.
If you want to guarantee that you're going to get something, get into fishing.
And get a bluegill.
Yeah. Go catch a bluegill with a worm. Like,
no.
Guaranteed. Go sit by a dock with a worm and a bobber and you'll catch a bluegill.
I did tell Dan, I was like, I think I want a bow because I want to get into it. And I want a side note. I don't have a hobby. Sam does not have a hobby.
Her hobby is more work.
It's working. I love to work. I like chasing goals and achieving things. And, you know, I don't know. I just love working. But yeah, I don't know. I told him, I was like, I want a bow and I want to try. Because whenever we lived in Colorado, I would go to every, I think, Tuesday night or every Wednesday night. There would be girls' night at the local archery place. And I would go with our cousin and we would shoot recurve. And it was fun. I really enjoyed it. It was just something to get out and do. And so I think as the kids get older, it'll be easier to kind of get out more and to hunt and for them to come with us. Canyon loved it. And I told him, when you get older, you can't be on the iPad in the blind. You know, you got to focus. And Ember, she's only 4 and a half, but she, Dan, I can tell she's going to do really good when she gets out to hunt. She is real focused, and I think she would love just scouting and looking. And
yeah, I think she will
really enjoy it.
I mean, it's young. Like, I remember, even for me, I think I really started getting to go out when I was like 9, maybe even 10. And other than that, it was just, you know, kind of a hassle to have me out there. I can't shoot. Yeah. I'm getting cold. I'm getting tired.
Kenan had to pee all the time. He was chugging hot chocolate.
Like, I want to walk around. I want to do all this stuff. And so, like, honestly, at 12, it was pretty good. Because at that point, I realized, like, hey, I need to sit still. Yeah. I had a couple of years under my belt. But six is just early. Yeah. I mean, it really is. It felt very early for him to be out there. And it was fun, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, like, we're not sitting out there for 5 hours.
Oh, no.
Like, 2 hours, 2.5 max, and he's ready to go, even with the distraction of a cell phone or something.
Yeah.
But, no, that's here, true. we've got a bunch of family in town. Like I said, Josh is coming in early in the morning. So, really, in the woods with us, it's going to be me, Billy, Mark, Brady, Sam, Gage, Josh.
Dang.
So 7 of us.
On the 40 acre?
On the 40. Well, there's like a 40 acre, and then there's a tiny little strip of woods on the other side of the road. So there will be like 5 and 2.
Yeah.
Really. But the lay of the land out there, there's a lot of rolling hills inside the woods, a lot of steep valleys, and so you could pack in like 15 people in there, and you still probably wouldn't feel like you're on top of one another. But yeah, we're going to go out tomorrow. Typically, opening weekend, I feel like we can usually count on 3 deer, at least. Some years, way more than that. You know, there's some years where we've got 7 deer down opening weekend between us and then my mom and Kevin being out on his family land.
Are you guys doing a buck pool or anything?
There was no talk of it today.
Pretty.
Which is weird.
Slow day then. No one wants to.
It was. It feels like a different opener.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe because we got here so much earlier.
Yeah, that's true.
Like we already had a full day to just hang out.
Hang out, enjoy time with them. Yeah. Since we're not arriving late, it's not like they have to hang out and entertain us and welcome us because we've already been here.
So, we'll see. I'm excited. I'm hopeful. I think there's a lot of there's going to be a lot of deer tomorrow. And there's also nothing like being out in the woods and you just hear those gunshots.
Yeah.
Like all day long, hundreds if not thousands of gunshots will be heard from the woods tomorrow just from the R1 spot. And then knowing there's tens of thousands of more, you know, all around the state.
Yeah.
And then every time, like if there's a lull, and you start second guessing, like, oh man, where are the deer at? I haven't seen any. Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to see any? And then you hear a gunshot and you immediately go back to, that could be me at any second.
Oh, yeah, any second.
Like, the deer are obviously moving. Somebody's shooting at them right now.
Yeah.
They could come through here right now. And then, even after you shoot, you better be on your toes still, because I've had deer, like, as soon as I shoot and
like
kill
one
a deer,
more comes right in.
Another one comes right in, or like 3 more come in, or
didn't you get a doe and a buck within minutes one time?
Oh, that's happened.
I can't remember.
That happens all the time. Yeah. Every year, you like somebody shoots multiple deer in a matter of 30 seconds apart, maybe more.
That's crazy.
And that happened last year. I mean, I shot that buck, and Aiden and I stood up and we were going to go look at it. And I look and running straight past Sam, like less than 5 yards from Sam, this doe just flies right past him, comes down the hill straight towards us, and we could have killed it.
Dang.
But I had already shot a doe that morning and then a buck at that point. So,
yeah.
I mean, it happens quick out there. I'm hopeful, though. I think there's going to be a lot.
I always love getting that text or call, like buck down, deer down. So.
Well, in the group text, I mean, we always keep everybody updated.
But I'm saying, like, on my side with you. Yeah. I love hearing that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Part of me really wants to shoot a buck tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I will if the right one steps out.
Yeah.
Part of me doesn't want to shoot one here at all. And I want to go down to Buffalo County where, like, they are known for monsters. Because I'm never going to shoot a giant buffalo.
You can't get one in Buffalo
County. Yeah, I'll never shoot a giant Buffalo County buck unless I actually go there and hunt them.
Then why don't you just get a doe? And then just hold your... Unless you
see a
monster tomorrow.
Well, that's my plan. I'm going to shoot a doe.
Yeah.
I'll shoot a doe. If a big, big buck shows up tomorrow, I'm going to shoot it. I'm not going to pass up one here for the chance of one somewhere else. But...
If you see forks, then...
We'll go for a doe. And then maybe throughout the week I can shoot down there and hunt.
Yeah.
Especially I've got my saddle system. I know they've got like tower blinds and stuff all over, but I'd rather just find a good spot where like nobody goes back, find a good crossing point and just sit.
Tuck back in.
And see deer that maybe nobody has before.
Could be good.
It could be. But it's getting late. It's officially after 10.
Let's go eat something and then go
I'm
to bed.
Super hungry, and I think I have just one or two more things to pack up for tomorrow.
So. Well, good luck, baby.
Thanks. When are you coming out?
Next year.
All right. I'm going to hold you to it.
Okay. We need to find someone for the kids.
Oh, we can cover that.
Okay. Next year.
Next year. And that is going to wrap it up for today's show. Now, full disclosure, I am recording this outro the final day of Wisconsin's deer season. So, we've already gone through it. It's been an insane year. Actually, this has been the best year we've ever had on this property in central Wisconsin. And going into it, we talked to the landowner. He said deer numbers were up. Like, he's seen more deer just firsthand in his fields than he's ever seen. And that got us really excited. Come to find out, we had a lights out year. I mean, we had some awesome encounters, bagged some beautiful animals, and you're going to hear all about that on the next episode. So hop on over, listen to that, because I sit down with my mom, my brother, and my nephew to recap all of our success stories, and holy cow, I'm still kind of in disbelief how this year went. So hopefully your year is going the same. I've got a lot more coming up too. 2022 has been awesome for me. I mean, seriously, one of the greatest years I've ever had. Some of the biggest deer, some of the biggest elk, and hopefully it continues, because I've got a couple more cool hunts, traveling a few different places, and then we're going to start hitting trade shows. So if you guys are going to hang out over at ATA, at SHOT Show, at the Western Hunt Expo, probably a few other ones, I should be at each one. I think I'm going to bring my podcast equipment on a cart and just kind of cruise around and do podcasts with different people. So hope to see you guys there. And until next time, get out there and chase a new adventure.